is Nehemiah 6, 15 to 19. And I've written down here what comes from the NIV Study Bible, which I think is the same as what's in the bulletin. So the wall was completed of the 25th of Elul, with 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence, because they realised that this work has been done with the help of our God. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them, for many in Judah were under oath to him. Since his son-in-law Shechaniah, son of Ara, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshullam, son of Berechiah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds and then telling him what I said. And Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me.
Father, we look at today at a passage that seems a little bit unusual in some ways. And so as we look at Nehemiah 6, I pray that you will give us a clear understanding of what you're wanting to say to us. And Father, as we always pray, that we won't just be hearers of the word, but we'll be people who apply it in our own lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I also particularly want to thank Len for stealing my thunder today. Stands up here and he says, "The wall is complete." Very first words he reads, "The wall is complete." So there's not a lot else to say, is there? And I have to say, what a magnificent wall it is. And I can't work out what all the fuss is about, because they talk about the Jerusalem wall. It took 52 days to complete. I've done that in about 45. Okay, 45 days to complete that wall. So the fact that they did the Jerusalem wall in 52 is not that great. But you would be thinking that having done all this work on the Jerusalem wall, Nehemiah having gone to all the trouble he has, you would think by now there would be a celebration going on. The streamers would be, the poppers would be popping, the streamers going everywhere. We've finished the wall. There's a party. And yet there's really not that taking place in this passage in Nehemiah 6 at all. In fact, it's just like Len read, the wall is finished. Did it in 52 days. Now, we know that later in Nehemiah, in chapter 12, they do have a little bit more of a celebration. But at this point in time, it's actually quite reserved. And you've got to wonder why. You would have thought that this was a monumental moment and worthy to celebrate. But the reason the celebration is subdued is because there are still many dangers that the community is facing that needed to be dealt with. There's still some real threats. We talked about the threats of outside previously with Tobiah and Sanballat and some of the things that they were trying to do to break down the walls. Last week we saw the internal threat and the way in which most times churches and organisations are actually not destroyed by what happens outside, but what happens inside. But in chapter 6, there's a slightly different threat, and that's what we're going to be looking at today. In some ways, this threat is not dissimilar to the threat that Steve Irwin faced, or the threat that Michael Schumacher faced. Remember both of those men? Steve Irwin died on the 4th of September 2006. Now, I know it sounds like a bit of a strange association, but I'll try and explain. Steve Irwin, all of his life, faced real dangers head on. He captured and wrestled crocodiles. He was always known for handling snakes and subduing lions. You name it, he had done it with wild animals. And it was always known that if Steve Irwin was ever to lose his life at a young age, it was always going to be by one of these vicious, ferocious animals. Everyone thought it would be a ferocious animal attacking him. Yet it wasn't like that at all, was it?
No.
Steve lost his life to something he didn't even consider dangerous, something he didn't need to take precautions with. In the most unexpected way, he impaled himself on a stingray barb, something that he would never have thought would have caused him any problems. Michael Schumacher, arguably the greatest Formula One race driver of all time. 91 wins, I think he had as a Formula One race driver. Most people would have considered that if ever he was at his greatest danger was when he was driving his race car. And he had gone through all kinds of crashes and he'd survived them because he and his car were ready for such a moment. But Michael Schumacher instead was just holidaying with his family, decided to go skiing, and as he was skiing, he fell off his skis, hit his head, and now we don't quite know his condition, but basically he's in a vegetative sort of state because he hit his head. 5 years ago that happened, and we still don't quite know how he's recovering from that. All of these things are sad and difficult for their families to deal with. Both men, almost every day, dealt with what looked to be greater dangers, far greater dangers, and probably were far greater dangers, but they succumbed to a situation when they were least expecting it and least prepared for it. Nehemiah, in this whole series that we've been going through, has faced all sorts of challenges. And the very first challenge was when he appeared sad before the king. He could have lost his life for appearing sad when he went to the king. And then at the same time taking on the role of having to go back to Jerusalem, declare himself as a leader to rebuild the wall, that was a dangerous situation. The challenge of the Arabs and the Amorites fighting against the children of Israel as they were building the wall, that was a real danger. In many ways, you could expect that any one of these things could have brought Nehemiah down and could have prevented the walls of Jerusalem being built. But the people survived through all of those things. All of those things. And now, instead of celebrating, Nehemiah is on his guard against some of the most dangerous threats that could come his way. And I would suggest that no one else can see the threats, only Nehemiah. It is in the same imminent threat, a same imminent threat that I think that today's Christian churches face. And in my role in the Hunter District Baptist Association, I've seen this same threat affect many churches. So today, if you want to know what today's theme is all about, it's all about not being complacent. It's recognizing the threat and making sure that we don't succumb to the threat that's out there. So what is the threat? Basically, it's this. There are people, like there are in congregations today, who have been part of congregations for a long time. And during their involvement, they have regularly shown themselves to be difficult people. They've shown themselves to be troublemakers. They've shown themselves to be disloyal and undermining leaders and gossipers. But because they've been around for a long time, you kind of got to turn a bit of a blind eye to them. Or because they're major financial contributors, or they've done a lot of work around the place, we kind of get to the point of saying, well, you got to take it a bit easy on them, because of who they are. And so what we've seen in many churches, these excuses of these, we turn a blind eye to these weaknesses because that's the good Christian thing to do. But these very same people are endeavouring to bring destruction within the church. Well, that's what we have in chapter 6. Sanballat and Tobiah, who only a few weeks ago were trying to disrupt the building of this wall, now are coming in close and saying, we're really your friends. We're really your friends. We're relatives of yours. And so we'd like to get alongside you. And yet everything that this whole nation had experienced from them was that they were just difficult people. They've had to deal with the abuse of these people, the insults that were held at them, but nobody wanted to do anything about it. Sanballat and Tobiah, let's just leave them alone. Let's not antagonize them. And the reason for it is because they were relatives. They were friends of the Jewish nation. They were sons-in-laws and daughters-in-law. And so we've got to stay good with the family. And on top of that, they had some good ideas, and it seemed to make more sense to not antagonize them, but to keep them on their side. Nehemiah recognized the danger. And although everyone else is saying, it won't do us any harm to keep them on side, he knew the danger. The whole fabric of the community was at risk. And we're going to look at some of those risks now. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to read before the passage that we looked at today, starting in chapter 6, Nehemiah chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not seen the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message, "Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plains of Ono." But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messages to them with this reply, "I am carrying out a great project and cannot go down." It seems like a pretty harmless request. It seems like a way to make peace with your neighbours. Nehemiah could have sought advice from all the nobles and all the officials. He could have gone to them and said, "Should I go see Sanballat and Tobiah? Should I go see these people and see whether or not they're causing any grief?" And I have no doubt that all the advice to Nehemiah would have said, "Yeah, just go. Go see them." But Nehemiah knew within his spirit, and from hearing the heart of God, he knew that the request was not as it seems. And I think as Christians, there are many times when we just know. We just know that things aren't quite what they seem. You know those moments? When you're presented with a situation and people are saying things to you, or you're talking to someone, and you can't fault a thing that's said. The words are beautiful. The situation, the logic is fantastic. But as you hear the words, deep within your spirit, you know it's not as it presents itself as being. We have to be on guard in those moments, because those moments are moments of deception. And we need to make sure that we trust the spirit that God has placed within us. So the first problem, or the first risk they had, was one of deception. The second threat is recorded in verses 5 to 9. Verses 5 to 9. "Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his assistant to me with the same message. And in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, 'It is reported among the nations, and Geshem said it is true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to those reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us confer together. I will send this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up in your head.'" So the first was deception. The second is a false accusation. The beauty of this accusation is it kind of sounds like it could be true. You could understand Nehemiah sort of putting himself up as being the new king. After all, he's done everything worthy of that position. You could understand that people could think that Jerusalem was going to put an army and start fights. But it's obviously it's a complete lie. And then Sanballat uses these words, "Come, let us confer together." Look, Sanballat says, "Look, I'm not saying I believe it's true, but because others are talking about it, we need to get together. His plan was to take control over Nehemiah. and to forever use this as a moment against him. Once again, the request looks like he cares. He's a considerate soul. Let's get together and let's talk about it. But he's really manipulating the moment. Once again, Nehemiah understands this moment for what he is, for what it is. Advice from other leaders would have said, let's nip this rumor in the bud. Let's stop it right now. But Nehemiah gives it no attention at all. There would be those who say, you know he's an enemy, so why not keep him close? What is it the old saying, keep friends close and your enemies closer? Which isn't quite a Christian standard, by the way, let me just say. God would say, have nothing to do with them. Nehemiah was not prepared to entertain association with Sanballat at any cost. And his response was direct and full of truth. He says straight out, nothing of what you are saying is happening. That's the truth. And then at the end of verse 9, Nehemiah once again shows his godly character. He says, but I prayed, now strengthen my hands. Because he knew that was going to come back and bite him. He knew it was going to come back and bite him, but he had to live by truth. So the first threat was deception. The second was accusation. And that brings us to the third and arguably the greatest threat. And that's in verses 10 to 13. One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Delilah, the son of, yes, that person there who was shut in the house. And he said, let us meet in the house of God. Instead of the house of God, inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you by the night. They are coming to kill you. But I said, should a man like me run away, or should one like me go into the temple to save my life? I will not go. He had a few reasons for not going into the temple. The main reason was he wasn't allowed to. That was for the priests to enter into the Holy of Holies on very special moments. So Nehemiah had no right to go into the temple anyway. And so he's thinking to himself, there's this prophet who says you should go guard your life, but what you need to do is run into the temple. And Nehemiah thinks, well, that doesn't make any sense. God would never call us to do something that is contrary to his purposes, contrary to the house of God. And so straight away, Nehemiah knows that this is a false prophet. He knows it's a false prophet, and he knows what he shouldn't do. And we know the words that we should never treat prophecy with contempt. We should test everything, hold on to the good, and avoid every kind of evil. He's tested it, and he's found out it's evil. So once again, Nehemiah could have had everything break down because of a lie. The first threat was deception. The second was accusation. And the third was false prophecy. As we read through this passage, as we read verse 14, when we read verse 14, he says, remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who have been trying to intimidate me. He says, remember what they have done and remember how I've stood firm. We need to be people who stand firm. We need to be people who don't fall into the trap of thinking everything's going pretty good at the moment. Therefore, we don't have to worry about too much else. It's at those times when the devil wants to attack. You see, Len read for us, the wall was complete. And yes, most people would have wanted to celebrate. Nehemiah knew there was still a job to do. Today, as we come to this passage, it's all about being on our guard. I look at where we're at in our church history and I think it's a great place. I think good things are happening here in the church. I think we're having a great opportunity to minister to the community. It's a wonderful time and it would be easy for us to celebrate. But we need to make sure that we're aware of the threats that are all around us. There are threats of deception. There are threats of accusation. there are threats of false prophets, threats everywhere we look. The words spoken by the men all sounded to make sense, but Nehemiah knew deep within him that they were lies. We read in Matthew 25 that when Jesus returns, there's going to be a time when there is going to be a separation of the sheep and the goats. When I heard that, I thought, well, that's not that hard a job. Have you ever seen sheep and goats? They look so different, it's easy to separate them. But in the ancient world, sheep and goats looked almost identical. Almost identical. There are many who will put a banner over the top of their door that says church. There are going to be many who put a banner over the door, a Christian church. We need to make sure that we're on guard, that we read the truth, we know the truth, we proclaim the truth, and we live by the truth, so we don't succumb to these threats that are out and about to get us. Yes, the wall is finished. Yes, a time is going to come when they celebrate. But nothing should ever stop us from keeping our guard up and recognising that there is always a threat, and we simply live for God and we trust his leading and his guiding. Let's pray together. Father, today as we've looked at this passage that talks about threats, everything within us wanted to just celebrate today. Everything within us just wanted to have a happy day. The wall is complete. So why shouldn't we be just rejoicing and celebrating? Yet, Father, you have called us, for whatever reason, to look with soberness today at this passage in Nehemiah 6. And we recognize, Father, that as we've looked at what is a very sobering passage, that you are asking us to be on our guard. Father, would you help us to treat our lives and our ministry and our Christian witness with the integrity and the truth that is needed to allow your name to be proclaimed and your truth proclaimed in this community that you've called us to serve in. We pray this in Jesus' name.